Welcome to the Lawn Hustle Podcast. If you are in the green industry and you're ready to take your lawn care business to the next level, you're in the right place. I am Andy Wilson, your host, with 16 years of experience in the field. Each week we dive into strategies, stories, and secrets to help you build a legit, thriving lawn care business. Whether you're starting out or you're ready to scale, this is your space to learn, to grow, and to hustle smarter. Now, let's get to work. In today's episode, we have Evan and Greg, the co-host of the Turf Nerds podcast. They have 117 episodes designed to help you grow and help you scale your lawn care business. I appreciate you both joining the Lawn Hustle tonight. Thank you.
Andy, it's an honor to be on the show.
Thank you, Andy. Good to see you.
It's good to see you both. The last time we seen each other was at Equip Expo. So with that being said, let me ask you both, what was your biggest takeaway from Equip?
Greg, I'll let you start that because that was your first expo, wasn't it?
It was the first expo. It was amazing to see how much was going on there. Between the equipment, the handheld stuff, the battery operated stuff, even the lights, Christmas lights guys that we had spoken with. There was just a ton of different things there. I was quite surprised at what I saw. Even the hardscape stuff, they had so much going on, and the educational stuff. It was very well done. I was very impressed.
Yeah, it's funny that was Greg's first year. Now this would have been my second year, the past 2024. Andy, I had went in 2022, couldn't go in 2023 because we had a baby. But you know, I was most impressed with the show, with just how stupid huge the show is, and more importantly than that is the networking with others. I mean, that's where we met the Andy Wilson face to face down there at the expo. But it's just incredible how they're able to put it's. Didn't Chris say it's over 1 million square feet? How they're able to put this land, this landscaping and lawn care, it's more than just, you know, landscaping and lawn care, this show all together. They've been doing it over 40 years and they put this all together. And what I'm impressed about the show is our industry is not lacking. Our industry is much bigger than you think, and the show really provides that. And it's just awesome. Like, we're, Greg and I want to move down to Louisville and camp outside the Kentucky Expo Center for the next couple of months until the show's coming down the pike for 2025.
Well, in 2025 at the expo, we all need to get together again and go out for a meal or just sit around and talk for a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great. Greg and I love food. Greg, right?
I've eaten food before, and I've liked it.
Well, let me ask you both, what inspired you or motivated you to get into the green industry, and how many years have you been in the business?
I'll lead off that one. So what inspired me and motivated, Andy, you have some good questions here. So my lawn care business, it started kind of as a joke after high school back in 2010 with my buddy Eli. We were in a ComTech class. It was a computer-aided design class, or computer class, and we were both trying to figure out what to do to make some money graduating senior high school. We're senior high school. We were seniors, and we kind of put our heads together. Eli said he was cutting a couple lawns in his neighborhood. I said, oh, I would like to do that too. I had more equipment than Eli. Next thing you know, we made this business called E&E Lawn Care. First year, we had push mowers, and we did it. We had these flyers we passed out. He had more accounts, but I had the better equipment. Well, when my dad caught wind of, hey, this business was actually going somewhere, so my dad kind of, that next year, my dad took it over, and we fired Eli, and then my dad really pushed me, and then ever since that, I've grown the business. My dad helped me for like 2 years after that, but you know, ever since, it was just, I grew it. I didn't really grow it. It was God who gave the growth. I just, by his grace, worked hard, though, too, but it really just started. I was, it, it, like, high school, I was trying to find a job, and I just went into lawn care, because guess what? Everyone can cut grass, but not anyone can cut grass, and it's a lot harder than you think to do, and it morphed into a great career and a great ministry, if that answers it succinctly.
Yes, sir. How many years have you been in business?
This is, so 2010, so it's 15 years. Man, Andy, you're making me feel old. Isn't that funny, right?
If you feel old, I'm ancient.
Oh, no. Oh boy.
Greg, what got you inspired, and how many years have you been in the game?
Well, I had I was working corporate life for a long time, had some had been let go from a job, and while I was looking for work, I was helping Evan out, helping him out toward the end of the season, and I just wasn't happy with what I was seeing out there, and I wasn't getting any good opportunities, and I started thinking about it, and I said, you know what, I used to work, Evan's going to love this, I used to work at the Country Club of Lansing.
There we go.
when I was in college.
Hello, and
Andrew, sorry.
Yeah, but I used to work at the country club, and so I already knew how to cut, and I was working with Evans going, yeah, I could do this. And so instead of pursuing the other side of things, I kept trying to go into the corporate world. I wasn't, I'd gotten kind of tired of management dealings and stuff over the years, and I just said, I'm just going to start something on my own. That was 2019 when that happened, and started, there was the end of the season, so I started my business in spring of 2020, so this is going into my sixth year.
Oh, in your 6 years and in your 15 years, Evan, how have you seen the lawn care industry change?
You know, that's a good question. I think it's changed, and guys are starting to value themselves more, because I think, 2010, I didn't really get everything with inflation and what was going on. I didn't really start caring to how the world worked until the last probably 6 or 7 years. And it's really changed. Hopefully, Lord willing, we're starting to weed out the chuck and the trucks in the industry and take more pride in ownership, like elite ownership of our businesses. And I think it's changed, and I hope it's changed with guys are caring more. Obviously, it's changing with the prices. Everything's gone through the roof, but that's just how things go. But it looks like we're getting rid of the chuck and the trucks, and the $20 lawn guys are gone. And it seems like our industry is realizing that, hey, it's a blue collar job. It's corporate in the sense that we make as much as corporate folk, if not more. And I think the industry is, I guess it's coming from going down to the Equip Expo, because only, I'd say, high quality, high caliber, elite lawn guys go down there. It just seems like the industry is becoming more professional with things. I mean, there's always people that aren't professional in any line of work, but I really think the industry is starting to kind of buckle down and mature it, at least from when I was doing it. But then obviously, pricing, there's no more $20 lawns. They're all $45 or $50 lawns.
Well, I believe our industry is going through a paradigm shift, and we're seeing a change in the way we feel and think about our industry. And that's coming through all these podcasts that we listen to, all of these educational conferences and conventions that we go to. It's making us more professional, I feel.
Oh, yeah.
And Greg, what do you think about the industry, how it's changed in your 5 or 6 years you've been in the business?
One of the things I've noticed is the equipment change with regard to riders versus walk or stand-ons and standers. And even in the conversations we had when we were at Expo, talking with the Toro guys and the Bobcat guys, and I think it was Ron at Bobcat that told us that they've seen a tremendous change in the amount of standers being used right now. So when I started out, I saw people with either riders or walk behinds and using their sulkies, and I tell you what, I don't see many walk behinds anymore. I have one, but the only reason I use it is because I've got a couple of steep lawns that's my stander won't go on it. But Ron, well, I can't remember what the numbers he said. Evan Ward, do you recall? He said the growth has been 10-15%. Is that what it was? Or
yeah, I was thinking something like 55,000 units. Or something like that. It's a crazy trend in from the rider to the stand-on game. And I like that you said that, Greg. I didn't even think about that. Mine was more like a general answer I gave Andy. But, Greg, you really hit the nail on the head with that. The industry, and you would agree, Andy, it's going much more to the stand-on route just because of the maneuverability. You can get more mowers on your trailer. I think they're safer hugging hills, though, too. I think that maybe riders have better, I guess, center of mass, and I guess if that makes sense. They're not nearly as top-heavy. But, yeah, I think this industry is really trending towards the stand-on mower game.
Yeah, they're a little less expensive as well. And sorry to interrupt you, Andy, but this you hit something that's really important, Evan, was safety. I don't know if you've seen a couple of the videos recently where guys they rolled over their riders and they didn't have their seatbelts on and or they didn't have their the roll bar up.
Yep.
So they were crushed and or they were thrown from it. One guy was he went into a lake and drowned. So that's where the safety I think is a factor. If you start to lose your stander, you can bail. But on those riders, if you're strapped in and you don't have the roll bar up, you're in trouble.
Well, I have a grasshopper stander. They first came out a couple of years ago now, and they sent me to Florida to record some video with their new stander. And I can ride that grasshopper stander all day, and my back doesn't hurt. My legs don't hurt. If I sit on my zero turn 300V or 729, at the end of the day, I feel like I've worked all day, but I can ride that stand-on mower and it not bother me at all. So I love those stand-on mowers.
Yeah. How do you like that grasshopper? I've only seen a couple of people with grasshoppers. I don't know where the grasshopper guy is around us, but I'm curious about the grasshopper. I've heard good things about it.
Well, I have been using grasshopper mowers for the last 14 years. And I've had them all. I've had Skag, I've had Exmark, I've had John Deere, and I'm not going to bash any of them. But from my personal experience, there's not a mower out there that will cut any better than a grasshopper. The cut is perfect. It's comfortable. On my 729 and my 300V, which I have two of those, they have the air ride seats on them, and they are so nice, so comfortable. But that stander, it's easy to get on and off of. The handles adjust to the size of your hand, so you don't have to stretch your fingers out to try to grip it. The whole tower adjusts to your height, so you're not getting hit where you shouldn't be getting hit by the pad. But it's just so much more comfortable than anything I've ever ridden before. I've had ride standers. And again, I'm not bashing any mower company, because all mowers make tall grass short.
They do. You know, I got a question for you, because you've been in it for a long time. You've been using a rider. And when you switch to that stander, when I went to look at my Bobcat, the guy said, "You're going to hate me for 2 weeks, and then you'll love me after that." What was your experience? Were you in a similar situation?
When I bought my first stander, I thought, "My God, what have I done?
Oh no!"
I thought I just wasted all that money because I didn't like it. But about 3 to 4 weeks in, when I realized it's so much easier to get on and off of, to pick up trash, sticks, what have you.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I, as I began to use that stand on, I realized my knees don't hurt. My back's not killing me at the end of the day. So I went from a hate relationship to a love relationship.
That's right. That's what the guy told me. He said, and there was another guy that came into the store, another lawn company, and he told me the exact same thing. He said, but I was used to a walk behind. That's what I started with. And so I was already used to standing and doing stuff, but it wasn't, you know, those silkies, you get your teeth massaged on those. So your teeth are rattling the whole time. But
there's a big difference from, the sulky to the stand down. Greg had the stand down first. He's like, hey, you got to get one. So then this is back 4 or 5 years ago. I broke into my stand on game with the Cub Cadet Pro X660. Then I also have the Toro Grandstand Multiforce. And I'd never go back to a rider. Sure, if a company sent me one to have, keep, or use, I don't really know if I would use it unless it was for doing fall cleanups. But stand ups or stand on mowers, they're really taking over the industry. I mean, everyone's trending there. I think everyone I know has a stand on mower, at least, from our local group.
Well, we are going into the rush of our season. Thank God winter's behind us. I'm tired of snow and I push snow and I got tired of it quick. You know, when I was young, I got all excited about snow. But now that I'm wiser and older, I don't get near as excited about snow as I used to.
Oh, no.
But what are you doing in your lawn care businesses to prepare yourself for the rush?
This year, Andy, I'll lead this up. This year for the rush, we're just trying to be more organized and on top of things, like have everything in your CRM, like Greg and I use Yardbook, just more organized, have all updated numbers, things like that. Have everything just more orderly. Big thing for me, though, is I think I get anxious when my equipment's kind of scattered. Praise God, I've never been one to be too disorganized with equipment, but having your trailer and your truck clean and proper and everything in order, getting ahead of stuff. I just did some maintenance on my Toro Multiforce. I changed the hydro oil and filter the other day, and I'm going to change the engine oil in it tomorrow. Then I'm going to install my mulch force bucket on it. My Z-Aerate 24 aerator had some work that needed to be done on it. It turns out I couldn't do the maintenance I wanted to do, so I took it up to my local dealer and said, they can deal with this. So I'm trying to get everything out of the way, so when we go from doing aerations and mulch jobs quickly over to mowing, because we're probably be mowing it. We could start mowing as early as 3 weeks from now, but probably mid-April or maybe about a month from now. You just want to be on top of it and ready and have all your ducks lined up here in order. But it's really just organization and just getting gas, really the night before, or wake up really early and get gas before you start. But it's just being more organized and not sloppy. And also, I'm doing this thing this year. I'm taking pictures of all my business receipts and putting them online safe somewhere, so when year end comes, I can pull up, hey, here's all my write-offs. Much more organized this year. Same with mower. I guess off-road fuel. I have an app on my phone to keep track of my truck fuel during the winter and for my off-road for the mower. And then also maintenance schedule. I have an app. John Deere has his mower app, but I use it just to log my maintenance hours. And it's pretty cool. So mine's his organization.
Well, when it's time to go, you want to be ready to go. So that's what we've been doing, going through our mowers, changing all the fluids, filters, scraping decks, sharpening blades. And just on day one, we want to be ready to roll out and start doing those weekly cuts to where we can, be ready to go, and there's no issues. The last thing I want to do is get out there in the first week, and because of my lack of attention, have a breakdown or have something go wrong in the field, and then I got to waste a couple of hours to try to fix it or get it somewhere to get fixed. So that's what we've been doing. What about you, Greg?
I tried to get everything at the end of the season last year. I tried to get my mower all prepped and ready to go so that technically, hopefully, I could just be ready to go pull it off the trailer and start mowing. I had a new set of blades put on, had the gas tank filled. I don't think I needed an oil change because I'd done one short time before that. Just had everything, tried to have everything ready to go for the opportunity just to be able to start. I'm going to probably take my trailer out, get that maintenanced, and other than that, I think just reaching out to my clients. I think I lost two clients this year. One wanted me to bag, and I said no. And then the other one passed away, unfortunately. Very nice lady that just passed away. So I think I only lost two clients this year. And I'm going to send out, actually, I'm just getting ready to send out an email to all my clients as they've all gotten back with me and just say, you know, here's you know, plans for the upcoming season, you know, not watering on the day I cut, preferably, or at least starting to water at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. The one thing, though, I'm going to have at the top of that list of plans for the season is referrals. Hey, if you've got a neighbor, and I'm trying to emphasize a neighbor because that keeps me route dense, and you got a neighbor that you want to refer to me, that's one free cut for you if they stick with me for at least a month. So, but that's one of the other areas that I was going to just try and see if I could get a little bit of growth that way as well. So, just having some things ready to go, hopefully, and then prepping, maybe having some more blades sharpened and ready to go. I had most of my blades sharpened by the end of the season last year as well, though. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Let's take a break and hear a word from Joey Coberly, the landscaping bookkeeper.
Did you know that bookkeeping is one of the first things you should outsource before scaling your company? Hey guys, it's Joey with the Landscaping Bookkeeper, and I wanted to personally invite you to join our group of more than 50 lawn care owners that have decided to track and learn their numbers. With the Landscaping Bookkeeper, you'll get monthly accountability and peace of mind knowing that your business is on the right track financially. You can book a call with us by going to thelandscapingbookkeeper.com and scheduling a 15-minute phone call. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Thanks.
We're back with the co-host of the Turf Nerds podcast. I encourage you to find them on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Give them a 5-star. Give them a nice review and hit the notification button so you don't miss an episode. I promise you, you will enjoy their podcast. Again, thank you guys for being on the show.
Well, thank you, and thanks for that nice kind words. I appreciate it.
Andy, it's always an honor. Andy, you are a man that has a lot of wisdom, and it's just so great that we got to meet you down there at the expo because you got a great testimony.
Well, I appreciate that.
I'd like to hear your bookkeepers though too there, and that you I tell you what, bookkeeper is huge for me. I've said it on my show before. I hate paperwork with a passion, and I pay a bookkeeper to do my books, and their job is to find the things that I'm not paying enough attention to. So that's a great spot you had right there.
Well, thank you. For all of our listeners, if you need a bookkeeper, contact Joey Coberly, the lawn care bookkeeper, and let him know that Andy Wilson sent you. And I appreciate it. Let me ask you, what is a typical day look like for Greg in the lawn care industry?
Oh, for me, it's get up, check the weather. Hopefully everything's somewhat dry for us here because it's so hard to mow wet lawns, and just kind of paying attention to see what it looks like out there. I try to get out about 8:30 preferably. Some days, if you got a lot of dew on the ground, it's gonna, I wait a little bit longer. Although I've started to do the I'll pull out my blower if I want to get going. I'll pull out my blower and do a quick blow of the lawn, just to try and get the dew off at least the top of the lawn. And then what I'll do is I'll go and then I'll go around and trim. And because I'm still waiting for the lawn to dry up a little bit, normally I'll trim first, then mow. Or I'm sorry, I'll mow first, then trim. But on those days where we get a lot of dew, I'll switch it up just to try and hopefully by noon everything will be dried up enough. But try and get out about 8:30, preferably, get my lawns going and, you know, just work hard. And, you know, I'm a guy that I eat my lunch on the way. I don't stop to eat because if I stop, then I'm going to get a little, I'm going to be resting a little bit too much. So I try to just eat as I'm on my way to the next job. And, I eat fairly light just because I don't want to get tired. And then, it depends on how the day is going. Preferably if I can be done by six, that's my preference. I cut 4 days, try to cut 4 days, keep 1 day as a rain day or side jobs. And then, last year we got beat up though. Evan will agree. We had a lot of rain last year. And I think I only had 3 Fridays where I wasn't cutting. And, but I try to cut Monday to Thursday, keep Fridays and Saturday mornings open, try not to work too much on a Saturday if I don't have to, and keep Sunday for the Lord's Day, as they say.
Amen. How many do you mow a day?
I cut probably 15, 16 a day by myself. So it just, yeah, it depends on the lawn. Some, you know, I've just tried to set it up well enough that they average out to be about the same. And if I can get done by six, it just kind of depends on the on what I've got and what, you know, what time I get started and what time what I'm encountering in the day. But it's not uncommon to be going till 7-8 o'clock, especially last year when we had all that rain. And that's kind of the way I go at it.
What about you, Greg? Evan, what does a typical day look like for Evan?
Well, it's kind of similar to Greg's a little bit. Wake up. I really learned with this industry when you work solo. I've technically been solo for 5 years now. I did have a buddy, I don't think I said this, who helped me for 10 years in my business. He was a high school friend, needed a job. Once the, I say, pandemic happened, I'd say it like that. Once that happened, things changed. He got a different job, and solo mowing, and the problem is my pride gets in the way, as I'd biting off way too many lawns. Basically, the past two or three years, I was mowing 6-7 days a week. Last year was about 5.5 days, 6 days a week with mowing. This year, I'm going to try to chip it down to 4.5 or 4 days of mowing, and I'm actually kind of happy that I'm getting clients drop me because they can't afford it. Or just, I was kind of joking with my wife. I'm like, yeah, another one said that they can't sign, you know, they don't want to sign up. But usually I go to bed around 10, wake up. I promise is getting my butt out the door. You want to start mowing really by between 7:30 and 8:30. But last year, because of the rain and everything, and just I was so tired, I wasn't mowing until basically 9:30, sometimes 10 o'clock. And that's what really set me back, though, to bring a lot of snacks. I never really stopped to sit in my truck to eat, but I eat on the way like what Greg does. It's just great snacks, a lot of water, and I bring a lot of blades with me. I change my blades every 8 to 12 hours, and on an average day, if I get my fat butt out of bed, I could probably mow 21 to 22, but averaging, I'm only like anywhere from like 17 to 19. It also just depends on growth conditions, because Greg can knock close to 20 if it's, you know, there's been, well, Greg, I knocked out 25 because we didn't have to trim stuff. So it really just depends on the conditions. And then me, how it was last year and the year before, I would just come home when it got dark because I had too many lawns. And guys, you don't want to do that. I take what Greg said. Do the advice. I would say mow for heavy days, like really like load up those days and have Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays for that room for error, margin for error for rain. Obviously, Sunday we go to church. Lord's Day, but hey, if we get backed up, you got to push into Sunday. Sure, go ahead, but have Fridays and Saturdays open for mulch jobs, landscaping jobs, and things like that. And that's where I'm kind of recalibrating my business towards. But yeah, the last 2 or 3 years, my schedule has been hectic, and it's mostly just been my fault.
I have timed myself on every property that I mow, and I know exactly. I got one property, takes me 7 minutes to mow, trim, and blow. I back off my trailer, 7 minutes, I'm pulling back on my trailer. And I have timed every property, so I know every morning, I can tell you within 30 minutes when I'm going to be pulling back into my driveway. Because I just know every property, know where I'm going to be that day. And so that helps me stay organized, and then I can schedule side work on a lighter day. I can say, okay, I'll be done mowing by 2 o'clock. I can come and I can trim these hedges because they'll only take me an hour and a half or 2 hours. So I can still be done by 4 o'clock, knowing where I'm going, how long it's going to take me, has helped me to work my schedule out and make it more convenient for me. I'm not just guessing every day where I need to go, how long it's going to take me. I time myself.
And that's so interesting, though, too, Andy, because if you trim those hedges, that's really good. That's really good profit margins. Get done mowing at 2:30, do a 2 hour hedge job and make like $300 bucks or, 250. It's really good profit margins on top of your day mowing already.
Last week, we trimmed a total of 335 hedges.
Holy smokes.
We were swamped. But,
yeah, really.
Is there a tool or a form of technology that has helped you the most in your operation?
Oh, that's a good question. Back in the day, it was kind of mapping out like routes. I used this app called, or website called, like Map, was it like My Route Online? That's what kind of helped me out for a while. I guess, technology and tool now, it's really helped me in the business. It probably, if I had to be honest, it'd just be Yardbook. Andy, we used to send out, physical invoices back in the day. And then I'd say when 2017, 18 hit, we did email invoices. That was clunky, but it was better than sending out, paper. And then Yardbook's just been the game changer because Greg could tell you, I had clients where I didn't even have the full names in there. I just had nicknames for the people and then not even the right numbers, wrong addresses. And Yardbook, sure they got, other ones out there. Jobber. What's the other one? I'm drawing a big blank on it. LMN. They have other ones out there. But Yardbook, as basic as it is, as bare bones as it is, that's been great. Greg can attest to it, too. It's been a game changer for my business, and it makes the invoice look professional. It's really been my, technology that's really upped my lawn care biz.
Yeah, for me, it's been, I think it was Yardbook. It was just so easy to work with. And I didn't have to mess around doing invoices. I mean, putting them together, but I don't have to do anything in particular. It's real easy. I pre-bill all my lawns. I don't know how you do it, Andy, but I pre-bill all my lawns beginning of the month. I count up the number of Mondays in the month, and that's how I bill them. And I tell them they got 30 days to pay me. If they don't pay me, they don't get mowed anymore until I get paid. And so, but I found that Yardbook has been very good for me to be able to work with. I send them out to the clients, preferably, first of the month, a couple days in, but I just tell them, pay me by the end of the month. And it's just so easy to work with. Like Evan said, it's everything I need to do or everything I want to do is on there. And I don't have to mess around and think of all the other things that I want to do. I think you have to have their premium service if you're going to use their credit card. But I don't take credit cards, so I just I'm just cash check or Venmo, and I just try and make it as easy. I tell my clients, and I'm upfront with them, and I'm honest. I say, look, I hate paperwork. I don't like doing that. That's not what I'm here to do. So these are my three methods that you can pay me. And do you take this, or do you take PayPal? Do you take what's the other one? Zelle? No, no, and no. And it's just those three, and I try and make it easy, because if I spend more time doing paperwork, then I'm not happy.
It's all about being professional, and with a good CRM, it just makes you look professional to your customers. And I've used the same one for about 10 years now. It's called Invoices to Go. And before I pull away from a property, the invoice has already been sent. And I've changed all of my due dates. Payment is due the day of service. You go to the grocery store, they won't let you pay them in 2 weeks.
No, they don't.
So why should I be any different? When I take care of that property, when I'm done, payment is due. And 95% of my customers will pay me within 2 or 3 hours after service.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Is that included in the 7 minutes?
Is that
included in the 7 minutes?
Yes. But we service 140 properties a week on top of the side work, mulch, river rock, trimming shrubs, building privacy fences. And those kind of privacy fences, I schedule those during the slow time. So I don't have to worry about being there building the fence when I should be mowing, or vice versa. Be out mowing someone's property when I promised them I'd get their fence done this week. So I kind of schedule those during the slow time.
Now, question for you, Andy. Question for you about that. So say you mow 25 lawns a day and you get 22 people to pay you. I think just for me, you ever get kind of confused when you get all these payments just coming in? You got to count them all out? Or what's the, maybe that's invoice to go makes that easy. Like, you ever get kind of confused when you get like 30 payments in one day, or you just mark it there on your phone right away so you don't forget?
My invoice program, invoice to go, it automatically marks that invoice paid.
Oh, duh. Okay, cool. All right. That's nice.
So when it marks it paid, then I can go into my iPad on the payments and just eliminate that for the day. Just delete it because it's already been paid. So how do you differentiate yourself from Chuck in the truck or Dan in the van?
Oh, man. Greg, lead off first. I think he muted himself. Oh, did you mute yourself, Greg?
I'm sorry. Hello, I bumped it and bumped it again. And I had a problem with my headset, and I muted myself and so that you weren't hearing me knocking around my headset. For me, I'm more of a relationship guy. I try and get to know my clients. I've got a 90-year-old guy that one day he stops and he says, "Hey, have a seat." So when a 90-year-old client asks you to have a seat and have a bottle of water with them, you stop and have a bottle of water with a 90-year-old client. So,
yes, sir.
Yeah, and that's just the way I am. I stop and talk to my clients. I kind of figure half an hour a day of talking to people, and I think that's kind of what's going to happen. They know me well enough to be able to come up to me and talk to me, and I'm okay with that. A lot of guys don't like that, and that's what that's what you were describing, the Chuck in the truck, and what was the other one, Dan?
Dan in the van.
Dan in the van. Yeah, you got to watch out for him. but I'm more about relationships. I cut the lawns. I do a nice job. Part of that relationship is it's going to be harder for them to let me go. And, so I want to be able to have a conversation with them. And if anybody's going to let them go, I want me to be the one to let somebody go. So, but it's, that's just the way I am. I was in sales for years, so I'm used to talking to people, talk to the neighbors, make sure I'm always waving to the neighbors. And, that's the time. Pet the neighbor's dog. That's how you'll get a client. You pet the neighbor's dog. And the next thing you know, they're coming up and asking you if you can give them a quote. So, that's for me, that's important, but it's not fake. I enjoy talking to people. A lot of guys are just faking it, but I enjoy talking to my clients and the neighbors as well. I got one of my clients, her next door neighbor comes out who I didn't even cut his lawn. He comes out and hands me bottles of water.
That's good. That's good. What about you, Greg or Evan? Sorry.
I'm similar to Greg's route. Greg and I both have the problem of the gift of gab. I think some respect Greg can talk, but it's really, but he's being genuine and I am too. You want to establish and create a relationship with this client, because they turn into a friend and they're more than just, you know, a dollar sign. They're more than, you know, just what, you know, they help you pay your bills and make a living, though, too. Like that's a soul who needs to know about, you know, Jesus and like the hope of Christ, though, too. And Greg's done it. He's prayed for clients right there on the spot, because Greg says, which comes from an old song, you might be the only Jesus that these clients ever see. And what a great opportunity and privilege. But what comes with that when you get too personal in the good way and too close to people, sometimes, hey, time is money in the lawn care business, because let's be honest, the profit margins for mowing are terrible unless you got lawns on top of each other, and you can kind of compensate for that by charging a premium. So I don't mind sitting there spending 5, 10, 15 minutes, but that does add up, you know, throughout the day. I did that with I did what Greg's done. You kind of calculate, you just factor in half an hour, 45 minutes of talking to people, but it's genuine. Like, you get in and you care for them and their lives, though, too. And, you know, the benefits of that, though, too, is, hey, they tip you more. I got a guy I've been mowing for 15 years. He had a little heart attack. I sent him a Christmas card. He gave me $200 cash tip. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, but hey, we try to go a little bit above and beyond, because let's be honest, during the winter, unless you plow snow for yourself full time, the account does kind of dry up a little bit, and we got to be a little bit more careful with how we spend our, you know, money. Be a good, wise steward and faithful servant. So it's that's what really separates us from In Debt Dan, Chuck in the Truck, Trip and Tony. I don't know, I'm just making up names. Is that it's the relationship. Because, I mean, how do I say this charitably and nicely? The lawn care industry is kind of full of ragtag guys, and they give us a really bad rap. They show up looking like they're coming out of jail, and they don't have any social skills. Like, they're socially invalid almost, to the point where I'm like, talk to the clients. Like, you're making us look bad. But Greg and I do it out of the genuineness of our hearts, because it's more than just a lawn care business. It's a ministry.
Right. I have one elderly lady. I've mowed her property for 16 years. Her daughter called me. She fell off the porch, and then she broke her leg.
Oh, wow.
Crushed some ribs. Hmm. And she's not going to be able to live by herself anymore, so they're going to sell the property, and she's moving into an assisted living type setting. But because I've mowed her property for so long, she's more than a client. She feels like family. I feel like I'm losing a grandmother instead of a client. And it's because we've built those relationships like both of you were talking about. I've worked hard throughout my career to build those relationships. And I have a guy that called me 2 days after Thanksgiving and said, can you stop by the house? And I said, yeah, is there a problem? He said, no. He said, I want you to come by the house. So I go to his house, knock on the door. He comes outside, hands me a card. I didn't think anything of it. I said, well, you didn't have to do that, but thank you. And I get in the truck to leave. And when I pull away, I reach over and pick up the envelope and open it up. And it was a Christmas card. And when I opened it up, a check fell out of the card. This family wrote me a check for $1,000 and said Merry Christmas.
Holy smokes. Wow.
So it's building those relationships, you know, taking that time to talk, to wave, to show that you care about them, you know. And if there's something that concerns the customer, it should concern us.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's all about building those relationships, establishing a trust factor to where they know Evan and Greg and Andy are going to show up when they're supposed to be there, and they're going to show out, and they're going to do the best job possible. And when Greg pulls away or Evan pulls away, that property is the best looking property on the corner or on the street. And it's just building a trust relationship with a customer. And I have found that the customer doesn't mind paying premium rates if you give them premium service.
Oh, yeah. That's a really good way to say it, Andy. I bet you were taken back. I mean, life's not like all about money, but you were doing it out of the genuine, you know, genuineness of your heart. You knew that client for a long time too, and that's why it pays. I mean, people are like, oh, you never get tips from these people. I'm like, do you actually try to like engage with people? That's really encouraging.
I got one customer that every time they pay my credit card on the CRM that I use, he'll leave a tip, half of what I charge him for the yard. Single time.
Wow.
So I've got some great customers, and it's only, I'm not the biggest in my town, but someone's got to be the best. It might as well be me.
That's a great, then that's a great social media clip, Andy. Take that for your lawn or your Instagram page there, right there. Like, that's just a mic drop. Yeah. We don't need to say anything more, Greg.
No. I'm done.
Well,
I'm
that's kind of wrap this up for tonight. But let me ask you one more question. Where do you see your business in 5 years?
Oh, man. You know, Ezra McCarthy asked me this too, because I hopped on his show, where I see my business in 5 years. You know, I just hope to be, I'm trying to kind of diversify and hone like a different skill. I like to maybe get mowing down to like kind of, Greg mows like 60 or 70 lawns a week. You know, like maybe get it down to 70 or 80 lawns and then pick up another just sort of like really good like service that I could offer, trying to get into blade sharpening or something like that. But just kind of just getting it so I'm safely done. As you were talking about, Andy, calculate and time your lawns out so you know within a half an hour, I guess, room of air of when you're pulling into that driveway. Because, I mean, me, I don't. But that's just because me, I was willingly, you know, taking on way too many lawns, but just getting more comfortable with mowing and kind of branching out into another margin, okay, a high profit margin yielding service within my lawn care business, where you can make $400 and, you know, just two, three hours and come home and, you know, things like that. And I'm getting the gears kind of going, and then also having that more free time to be with the family. We're trying to grow a family, invest money, and maybe pick up, you know, getting into real estate down the line. I mean, I'm 34 now. That won't happen there for a while with the way, you know, you can't pay for anything right now, but Lord willing, that's, you know, going to change. So that's just kind of what I kind of hope to do with my business, and then see what, you know, where our podcast, your podcast goes, take off, you know, maybe make some additional income with that. Cause it's, I mean, I can safely say, I you know, I've been doing this 15 years, but 2 years ago, I mean, I got a Toro Multiforce 2 years ago with 0 hours. I put close to 1,000 hours on that machine in one season. No one does that solo. I think I'm more married to my mower than my wife. So just got to change that. So hope that answered it.
Yes, sir.
And his Brad. and his mower doesn't have a pretty blonde wig on it either.
No.
Where do you see your business, Greg, in 5 years?
Well, for me, 5 years is probably getting to be close to retirement. And I'm kind of looking over the next year or two. I was originally going to look at going into junk removal. And I was thinking about doing that, you know, adding it just because of, you know, I went out and bought a big truck just in case, because I was kind of planning on it, but had a couple of injuries come up that it made me rethink that, you know, it's probably not going to be the thing that I'm going to do. So I'm actually probably thinking of, I'd mentioned it earlier, is the Christmas lights. We had met someone at the expo, and we actually had them on the show, and talked to them about doing Christmas lights. So I'm actually kicking around working on doing Christmas lights for possibly beginning this season. And I guess they have a training program. You fly out to New York. They give you a day or so of training and get you set up. And it looks like that might be a nice opportunity. He says, hey, you already have everything you need. You got the truck. You got the trailer. And, you know, you need a ladder and going from there. So I think that's kind of what I'm thinking of doing. And then seeing what that'll see if that'll work for me. I'm getting a little bit older, so I'll be 62 here in a couple of weeks. So I'm thinking about probably looking at 67 as my cutoff probably.
Now, will you try to sell the lawn care business and just do Christmas lights? Or will you maybe pass the lawn care business on to someone you know? Or what's your plan there?
Did you mute yourself, Greg?
Yes, I did again.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I just don't want to breathe on the microphone. Everyone always gets mad at me when I breathe on the microphone.
sometimes, like during our shows, Andy, Greg's like Darth Vader. It's like, I'm like, how do you have to go through and cut it all up? It's pretty fun. Sorry, Greg, go on.
So I don't sit there and say, Evan, I'm your father. I'm actually kicking around. Depends on, I've heard it's tough to sell a lawn business. It depends. You know, at my volume, it's probably going to be a little bit harder. But how I kind of really grew my business was there was a guy that, I got to reach out to him, see about having him on our show. And there was a guy in my local area here that was thinking of selling his business. And I'd reached out to him and he decided not to sell it. But he called me one day and said, you know what, I'm just so busy right now. I can't keep up with anything. And are you interested? And this is when I was first starting. He says, do you want to buy some accounts from me? I said, you know what, I just don't have the money to buy anything. And he called me up a couple weeks later and said, look, I'm just too busy. He says, how about we do this? He says, I pre-bill all my accounts. That's how I got the idea, is he pre-bills all of his accounts. And he said, and this was in June, he said, I've already mowed them twice. You mow them the rest of the month and they're yours. And he got paid indirectly by his clients. And he told those about 10 accounts that I'm going to, you know, Greg's going to start mowing your lawn from now on. And so I picked up those 10 accounts. Didn't cost me anything except time. So I'm kind of considering that might be the way that I would sell the business indirectly, is just, you know, get a hold of somebody that wants to start out, and or somebody wants to take over and say, look, I'm going to pre-bill them, you mow them for the month and they're yours. And that might be one way to do it. I'll keep all my equipment, but you can take over the lawn. So, but that, what that does is, and if anybody's thinking of doing this, is it lets the client get familiar with the customer, or with the mower, person mowing their lawn. At the end of that time period, if they say, hey, I didn't like Dave, he was a jerk, then I don't send that account over to him.
Come on, Dave.
I've heard that about Daves. They're like that. And
he's a big jerk.
Yeah.
He tried to mow for me. I just fired him.
Yeah. But that's a great way to do it. It didn't cost me anything. It didn't cost them anything. And they can take over some lawns. So that might be the way I would probably do it. And then I'd probably consider keeping the Christmas lights, like you just said, just because, you know, it's only a few months. It's about 6 or 8 weeks worth of work. And that might be one way to do it. So.
Well, we're going to wrap this up. Thanks for tuning in to the Lawn Hustle Podcast. I hope today's episode gave you the tools and the inspiration to grow your lawn care business and to reach your goal. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and a nice rating, 5-star. Share this episode with fellow hustlers in the green industry. And as always, keep hustling, keep growing, and keep turning your passion into profit. Until next time, take care and keep the grass greener on your side.